Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, engineering and producing our program. He's on the other side of the glass, engineering the show. Tom, we got a little rain here at the station yesterday. It's nice. It cleared the air out a little bit. We've got a couple of systems moving in. So this, as long as we get some measurable rain before that deadline in the monsoon sweepstakes, which ends October 1st, right now it's the third.
We're neck and neck for second place.
We're getting close for second place, yeah. I mean, right now it's the third rainiest monsoon on record. It would be nice to move up to that second spot before the official deadline of October the 1st. It's Buckmaster with you on this Friday afternoon. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. It's September the 24th, 2021. We are now in our 11th year. In fact, we close out year 11 at the end of December and launch into our 12th year on the radio after 22 years on Channel 6, hosting Arizona Illustrated. So that's a long time here in town. Worldwide live listening for the program, making it very easy for you at my website, buckmastershow.com. That's also the place where we have all of our podcasts. Pretty much 96% of every show we've done since the first week of January 2011 is there at buckmastershow.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Friday, our media shout-out, Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan, thank you for your support. Dan Shear, who's up in Alaska, checking out some of his he is the editorial director for the WIC newspapers, some 24 of them, and one of them's up in Alaska. So he's up there, but of course, Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, big supporters. Tucson Local Media Group, Jim Ninsel at the Tucson Weekly, and their portfolio of publications, Inside Tucson Business, The Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Our Friday Focus interview today with me in studio, Pima County School Superintendent Dustin Williams, a one-time elementary school teacher in Tucson who was first elected in 2016 and reelected in 2020 to the top educator job in Pima County. Dustin, how are you?
Doing great. Glad to be on with your listeners, and this is going to be a fun time.
It is going to be a fun time. A lot to cover today. With us also in studio, we welcome back to the show her second appearance on the Buckmaster Friday Roundtable. Danielle Camara is with us. She covers education, and she's been doing so for the last couple of years, Danielle, and you've done a terrific job. I want to say that publicly.
Oh,
and you announced. You're very welcome. You announced today on your Facebook page that you will be leaving the education beat. Thank goodness you're not leaving the newspaper, but
no,
you are moving, transitioning to another beat. It will be the very important border and immigration that's starting October 1st. And we can talk a little bit more about the border and that later in the show today. But congratulations on what you've done so far.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. And I'm really happy to be here today.
All right, Dustin. Lots of news. The State School Superintendent Kathy Hoffman released this really within the hour. It was about an hour ago. It's a CDC study on K through 12, the school mask policies and school-associated COVID-19 outbreaks. The study was done in our two largest school districts, Pima County and Maricopa County. What was the bottom line, Dustin?
The bottom line is the data that they're seeing from both counties is that if you're a school that has a mask mandate, the COVID infections are lower. Just across the board, here in Pima County, that's probably about 50% lower.
What did you glean from that study? You looked it over real quickly, Danielle.
Yeah, so it didn't surprise me. That's kind of just keeping track of the numbers week by week. That's kind of what it seemed like to me. But it was nice to see that they finally analyzed that data. And yeah, they found that school districts that had no mask mandate were 3.5 times more likely to have an outbreak than school districts that had a mask mandate from the beginning of the school year.
And so, Dustin, tell our listeners, you've got how many districts in Pima County that you are the in the portfolio?
The portfolio here in Pima County have 18 school districts.
Okay.
Approximately 150,000 kids out there.
And what percentage of those have a mandatory mask policy?
Right now for the district schools that we have out there, you've got just about, probably about 80%, I would say, that all have a mask mandate at this moment.
And is that the ones that don't? They're saying that the kids can't wear masks on campus. Is that right, Danielle or Dustin?
Optional method right now. And you're seeing that even the schools that don't have the mask mandate, you're having the parents that want to have their kids have it on and be safe and take that direction for their child. They wear them. The percentage is anywhere from about 30% to 70% that do wear the masks.
Yeah, that's interesting to hear. I mean, just anecdotally, I hadn't heard those percentages, but just anecdotally, speaking to parents who are sending their child to a school with masks in schools that don't have the mandate, a lot of parents have told me my kid is one of two, one of three, one of five kids in the classroom who's wearing a mask. So it seems like, anecdotally, a lot of times there's less kids that are wearing a mask when it's not mandated.
And the big state law taking effect next week, Dustin. What's going to happen then?
Yeah, so we've got the court case. Mm-hmm. Court case is going to determine whether this can be a law or not. They're any day now going to give us an answer. We anticipate that probably all the way to probably the 28th or the 29th of this month, and we'll see what the judge rules. But at this moment right now, schools can absolutely mandate those for their districts if they choose with their governing board members. And after the 29th, it's going to be a different story.
What are you hearing? What are the superintendents telling you about all of this and this tension, but about masks? And the question for you is it getting in the way of learning?
It's a major, major distraction. And, you know, first and foremost, we respect all the parents and their views, and we understand that it is emotional. It's also, a life or death situation. And that, it's hard to do. It's hard to handle. But what's happening is the fuel and the fighting, the disrespectful behavior between ultimately adults. Kids watch, they learn from adults, they watch the actions. So when adults are really fighting back and forth, we're really missing the most important topics of school is the personnel. We are really, really short in many, many areas. Custodial staff, bus drivers, grounds crew, teachers, substitutes, counselors. There's some really, really big topics that we've got to start tackling. And the feud between the mask and the vaccines is not allowing that conversation to take place, unfortunately.
Danielle, it is sucking the oxygen out of the room, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it really is. I mean, you know, I was just thinking how a lot of the times when I have to report on some of these protests or some of these arguments, and I know that there are parents who feel really strongly on one side or the other, and, you know, I think it is important to cover that. But at the same time, I agree with what Dustin just said, that there are so many more important issues that need to be covered rather than whether or not to have in place a mask mandate, which has already been agreed upon by health officials at every level, is a critical implement to have in schools to keep people safe.
Wouldn't you think parents would be more concerned about the test scores, which have been falling like a rock, and these other issues?
We would hope that. And, you know, that's what these conversations are for, is to kind of help, you know, try to redirect our constituent bases, maybe kind of inform everyone that now is the time to really start focusing on the big issues that we have in schools. And if they can bring the energy in a positive way that they have towards masks and vaccines into the classroom for funding for teachers, counselors, and, you know, custodial staff and the support staff, the most important people that we have, that is the help that we need right now from our community.
Why are these people, why have they decided, like the bus drivers, or are they going because there's a job, there's so many job openings around, are they just going and doing other things? Or do they just not want to be involved in the educational scene right now, which is so toxic?
Go ahead.
You know, I mean, I think that's a great question, and I think that education officials are trying to answer that. But one thing that's clear is that a lot of the positions that are shorthanded, such as bus drivers, such as teachers' aides, these are really difficult positions, and they're low-paid positions. So, you know, I think that it's kind of following this national trend where a lot of people in low-wage positions are kind of reassessing and saying, you know, do I really want to continue doing this? What do I actually want to be doing with my life? But I think why the shortage is worse is a question that people are really trying to answer right now.
Especially if we zero in on the teacher shortage, which was a headline story before 18 months ago when COVID came on the scene. We quite honestly haven't heard that much news, Dustin, about the teacher shortage. I assume it's worse or as bad as it's ever been.
Yeah, going into the, you know, before the pandemic, we had a 25% across the state teacher shortage issue.
Yeah.
Coming into this pandemic and where we are, our educators are caught in between this ping pong game of all the politics. It has, and, you know, they've gone from remote learning, they've gone to hybrid model, they've gone to in-person, back to hybrid, into remote. What we're putting the educators through is really, really hard. They're really stressed out. It's hard to do this job, period, pre-pandemic, with 30 kids in your classroom.
As you know, because you were standing up there in front of those 30 kids.
One of the hardest industries, in my opinion, in the world.
And why is that?
You're managing just the lives of so many people. And then on top of it, it's a very emotional occupation, especially when you have parents involved that dearly love their kids. Mm-hmm. They want the best education possible, but life has circumstances and things happen. Sometimes those come into the classroom. So that teacher ends up being not just the educator for the day. That teacher is actually the parent, the counselor, sometimes the social worker, sometimes the food giver, I mean, bringing food to classrooms, the supply of clothing. There's just so many angles that a teacher does to touch a child's life that it's just something that really is remarkable and needs to be respected.
Yeah, teachers really have been doing everything during this pandemic for kids. I mean, going to kids, like Dustin just said, going to kids' houses to bring them food.
Yeah.
Bringing them, you know, clothes if they don't have enough clothes. And then on top of it now, dealing with, you know, groups of angry parents who are mad that their kids have to wear masks or that the teacher asked their kid to put on a mask in a school that has a mask mandate. So, you know, a lot of the teachers that I talk to, many of them, I mean, they all love their jobs. They all love the kids, but many of them are just really burnt out after the last year and a half, understandably so.
So are teachers are there enough substitutes to make up the shortage?
No. That is a huge problem in school districts right now. Many of the school districts have recently raised the pay for substitutes because there is a huge substitute shortage. So it's pretty commonplace that you might have a principal or an assistant principal or maybe a librarian filling in for a teacher who's absent. I've also heard teachers who are just like, I can't take a day off because there's nobody to cover for me.
Wow.
So the substitute shortage is a really big issue right now.
I think a profound statement a teacher told me the other day, we were having a little focus group, and she just said, Dustin, I just don't feel like summer was here. There was no summer vacation. It feels like we started and we are right back where we were. Usually teachers get that little break in between the year. It's not much because they're doing professional development and practicing their craft the whole summer long. But at least it is a little breather and break for them to kind of rest and rebound. But a lot of them feel like they just didn't get that this summer.
Well, because there was the summer school was very important this year because, I mean, it's always important, but I guess this year it was really important because many felt this last school year was a lost year to COVID.
Absolutely. That's correct. That's 100% correct.
Yeah. Summer school had record numbers of kids this year. So there were a lot of teachers who did work over the summer, even though they were really probably could have used the break because they knew that the kids really needed that time to catch up.
And to double down on that, during the summer school session, it was full masks. We didn't have any of the political battle that we have now until the governor and the legislature came out with that mandate during the budget cycle.
So it was an easier environment.
It was a much easier environment, and summer was smooth. And then what happened? The state legislature and the governor put the mandate in the last hours of the budget with no comment, no committees.
Yeah.
And that really is what fueled this whole thing.
And thus the battle lines were drawn.
Started, yeah.
And we'll see how it all ends up in the courts. This would be a good time to pause right here. After we take the break, we'll talk with Dustin Williams and Danielle Camara about the pandemic test scores. This is something that is so very important. Many see the COVID year as a lost year. They call it the COVID slide in learning. How are these kids ever going to make up a lost year? That will be my question to Danielle and Dustin. But first, Dustin, I know you're a big fan of Mona's Danish Bakery.
We get the Kringle. That's our favorite item over there. We do it for the traditions and our families. And I recommend everyone out there, it's the almond one we get.
You do get the almond.
Yeah, you recommended that.
Yes, I did. I did recommend it.
It's got the nice crispy glaze and the little almonds on the
top. Yes.
It's absolutely delicious.
You know, the Danish Kringle and the home of the Danish Kringle is Mona's Danish Bakery, the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona's, they pride themselves not only on the Kringle, which is a light and tasty multi-layered pastry, as Dustin was pointing out. He preferred the almond. There's also comes in many flavors, strawberry, raspberry, apricot. But it's not just the Kringle, Dustin and Danielle. It's my big thing now has been I can't get enough of the chocolate croissant.
Yeah. Making
and
a note as we speak.
That was something I went for last Saturday. And not only did they deliver with the croissant, it was a giant chocolate croissant with the deep chocolate. That's that dark baking chocolate that just melts in your mouth. This croissant had just come out of the oven, and Michael, one of the bakers up there, said, "Bill, take it home, let it sit a little bit." Oh, I didn't let that thing sit very long, I'll tell you. It was warm and ready to go. And I can see right now, Dustin, that might be what you're thinking of right now for the weekend.
I'm imagining a cup of coffee.
There
and,
you go.
And a my big chocolate cup. Croissant yeah. over there and just yeah. the deliciousness.
Yeah. Tom, in the control room, Tom, I'm going to bring you in before we take the break. You've had a stressful day. What would you like right now? What type of bakery good?
Well, I've been envisioning that chocolate croissant as you were describing it, and my mouth is watering.
There you go. I know. All right, let's take a break. It's Buckmaster, the Friday Focus interview today about education. Dustin Williams is here and Danielle Camara. Camara, who covers education for the Arizona Daily Star. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Our Friday Focus interview today, taking a deep dive into local education with Pima County School Superintendent Dustin Williams. He was first elected the top educator for Pima County in 2016, reelected in 2020. Dustin, did you have an opponent in 2020? Or I don't think you did you?
No, graciously enough and honored. Thank you very much, constituents. We'd like to continue that trend in 2024.
There you go. Also with me in studio, Danielle Camara, who covers education for the Arizona Daily Star. She's been on that beat for 2 years now. She'll transition October 1st to cover the border and immigration. But in her waning days as education reporter, she did cover last night's Tucson Unified School District board meeting and the result on whether or not we had Adelita Grijalva was my guest yesterday, and we were kind of setting the table for that meeting. Mm. And what was the result concerning the mask mandate?
Yeah, so the school district decided that they are going to keep their mask mandate in place regardless of whether it becomes law on September 29th that schools aren't allowed to have a mask mandate. So most of the local school districts that I'm aware of that have one right now have said once it becomes law that they can't, they're going to rescind it. And that is happening next week. You know, unless a judge blocks it, we don't know yet. But TUSD voted to keep their mask mandate. They also said they're going to file a complaint with the U.S. Department of Education and the U.S. Department of Justice. And they're also going to ask for help from the federal government on the grounds that they need the mask in order to protect staff and students with disabilities.
Mm. So that will be a very key date coming up. That's next week, the 29th, I believe, right?
The 29th.
That's a Wednesday of next week.
I think you're right, yeah. So, and there may be a ruling in a case. There's a case working its way through the courts right now.
Is that the Phoenix Union case? It is, yes.
Yeah. There's a number of people. Mm-hmm. Actually, I think that's a different, I don't think it's the Phoenix Union case. There's a number of people.
ASBA and different groups.
A number of school advocacy groups and stakeholders who are basically trying to stop the law from going into effect. And the judge in that case has heard the arguments on both sides, and she said she's going to rule before that law goes into effect.
Let's talk a little bit about school learning, the COVID slide, Dustin, it's been called, in learning. I have in front of me some of these national numbers, and the thing that just really shouts out as a huge area, reading scores were between 3 and 6 percentage points lower across the board nationwide, and I'm sure that's being reflected here in Pima County.
Yep, it all follows a trend. We're all in this together. We know that the remote learning, the hybrid, really took everyone out of balance. We're in the moment of trying to figure out what that learning loss looks like. We did get the Arizona merit test scores that came back. They were very poor. It was something that we were ready for. The schools knew it was going to be tough, just of course with the amount of percentages of kids that were doing remote learning. The good thing is we're seeing the benchmark scores come in that schools individually do, and they test the students to kind of see where they're at. And the number one thing is kids are super resilient, and that's the beauty and just the art of education. We will be able to get there and do that. Again, when you have the shortages of parapros and tutors and librarians and counselors, that is where it makes it very difficult to speed up that learning loss and those learning processes.
But you're saying a kid, children are resilient, and you know it's like in many ways the kids, they're back in school, they're with their friends, it's one on one, again with an environment that was, you know, it was remote, that they're hopefully going to get back in stride pretty quickly.
Yeah, you get the questions going, you're face to face, the critical thinking comes in, each peer looks at each other. There's an element of competition. They all like to do well and try to do well for their teacher and then hopefully bring a nice big A-plus home. That I had very little of those when I was in high school, but we do have a lot of kids out there that strive to get those, and that's what's important. So when you get them in the classroom and that face-to-face person, that's why it is critical to do every layer of mitigation possible to keep our kiddos in that type of environment.
Danielle, what was your experience as a mother of a teenager through the 18-month COVID situation?
Yeah, I was actually just thinking about my son, just listening to Dustin talk, and just, you know, I mean, for him, I know for some kids they did all right with remote learning, but my son was, I think, like the majority of children, that he struggled to stay focused. You know, there was no joy in it for him. He didn't enjoy it. And also, he was at a new school. He was a freshman. So, you know, he didn't get to make any friends. He didn't get to have that camaraderie. And since he's been back in school in person, I think like a lot of parents, like I just see the sparkle coming back into his eye. And, you know, I wouldn't say he's excited about mm-hmm. school, but he does seem to be having a much better time. You know, so yeah, I think, like Dustin said, being with their peers, having that sense of competition and camaraderie, I think that makes all the difference. And being able to look their teacher in the eye
right.
and being able to, you right. know, really get those lessons in person, it makes a big difference.
And what's important about that is Danielle's son obviously is in high school, and you've got a couple different demographics. So you've got your high school kids and kind of middle school, and then you have your elementary kids.
Yeah.
We have some focus groups at our office with high school kids, and coming back to school was neat. The twinkle is there, but they also are now starting to explain to me that now that the rubber's meeting the road, we're 2 months into school, and the curriculum and the homework and the real life of what school used to be like basically 2 years ago almost now
right.
is really putting a lot of kind of stress and that's something that we also have to really start focusing on, is that stress part for these kids, the social emotional learning.
Yeah.
That has to be addressed. We know that these kids are having feelings of depression. They're having feelings of they're not voices not listened to. And remember, there's two parts of teaching. You've got the classroom management, which is kind of managing your life, and then you've got the cognitive part, which is the concept part, the stuff you learn. You're not going to fully be able to learn well if you're thinking other things in your head and you're not feeling confident about yourself.
And I was thinking back a million years ago when I was a high school freshman. Of the 4 years, the freshman year was the most difficult, the transition, just mm-hmm. going from junior high school into as a freshman. That's hard enough. And then I was thinking about your son.
Yeah.
To be in then that COVID environment, remote learning as a freshman, that's not a good situation.
Yeah, yeah, it was really strange. And what Dustin was saying about the social emotional learning, I mean, I saw that in my own son, that he, you know, emotionally struggled doing remote learning. And I wrote this story over the summer about summer school, and pretty much every teacher, every principal that I talked to, they all had this emphasis on the social emotional learning. And they all said that needs to be addressed first. You know, we need to help the kids feel that they're they're safe, that it's okay that they're having these emotions that they're having from experiencing what we all went through. And if we can address that, then we can start to work on the academics. But it was basically like, that needs to be addressed first, or else they're not going to be in a place where they can really learn.
You've got to get to the mental and the psyche and make sure that they have everything inside their head working together. And a lot of times that is speaking to the teacher or the counselor and then working together with the parents. And the same thing is the timing of all of it. So you've got your freshmen and your seniors, but then you had whole group of kindergartens. Communication director, Matt Stamp, had a kindergarten that was in remote. And then when she went back to school, I said, how was first grade? And he was like, Dustin, it was like her going to kindergarten. It was all, so it was brand new to him. Yeah. And that whole thing is just so, it's really interesting. And so again, working together as a community to tackle those type of conversations and topics, that is the key from what we need from all our parents out there.
Do most schools have counselors?
Well, I mean, a lot of schools have a counselor.
Is there such a shortage that schools have to team up and use one person for multi schools?
There are schools that have one counselor for two schools, especially in a lot of elementary schools. Mm-hmm. In Arizona, we do have a really high student to counselor ratio. I don't know what it is right now.
It's one per 900.
I thought.
We are the most challenged in the entire nation. We are last place.
I thought we were really way down that area.
Absolute dead last for counselor per ratio.
Well, it sounds like I've hit a third rail then.
I mean, one counselor for 900 kids.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And that's they're dealing with academics, too, in a lot of cases. This counselor isn't even just dealing with kids' emotions. They also have to, you know, counselors have to help kids choose, especially in the older grades, what classes they're going to take, stuff like that. So, yeah, there's the shortage of counselors is definitely an issue as well.
Whatever happened for Red for Ed? Was that 3 years ago already? The whole thing about pay?
3 or 4.
Yeah.
I think it was 2018.
Wasn't there supposed to be money doled out every year for 3 or 4 years or something?
That was a governor. That actually sparked the governor's 20 by 20 plan.
Yeah.
Which was teachers would get a 20% raise by the year 2020.
Right.
Which most of them, it didn't quite work out to be 20%
correct.
For most teachers.
I'd agree.
Yeah.
I'd agree.
There were raises. They did get raises.
But that did stop. But we have seen an infusion of CARES dollars, which has been millions of dollars into the school systems that have helped for retention bonuses, have helped to elevate the salary level for teachers to a point, not a ton, you know, the money goes very quickly.
And for aides and bus drivers.
But then you have that classified staff, and that is the real big concern right here is those dollars didn't quite make it there. And so even at TOSD's meeting yesterday, I think there was a little rally outside of the governing board room for bus drivers advocating that they wanted more than $14.50 or $15-something, whatever they wanted per hour. I don't know that exact number, but and that's what you're seeing
I think it might be 16.
Okay.
Mm.
I think that might be the raise that they got. I hope I'm not saying that wrong.
And if anybody wants to be a school bus driver at Tucson Unified, we had Dr. Trujillo, the superintendent, with us a couple of weeks ago. He says the district is willing to do whatever it takes if you are qualified. In other words, you will fit the qualifications to be a school bus driver. They will walk you through the process to get your license and everything you need.
Yeah, yeah. You got to get a commercial driver's license for
and
that.
And they'll help with that.
Yeah.
Rigorous drug testing that goes on, CPR training that has to go through, certain particular hours in education for driving. And then, you know, as Dr. Trujillo said, but believe me, I've got another 17 districts out there that would raise their hand and say the same thing. So what you're seeing happen now with the supply and demand issue of personnel is you're starting to see the beginning of a little bidding war. So if I'm paying $15.50, well, now I'm going to up it up a dollar to $16.50. And that causes a big challenge for the schools.
So what are we looking ahead now to? The big thing is going to be next week about the law taking effect, Danielle, and then we're going to see where this goes from here. And regardless of what the judge rules, there's going to be an appeal, you know, and this could go all the way to the Supreme Court.
It's something in a pandemic that this is what you get. And these are the things, it's the playbook that you open up every day that's blank and then a bunch of words and lines on the paper happen, and that's what we're developing. And that's what's really hard, because we've got kids right now that need a lot of help.
Yeah. Well, and it'll be interesting to see if any school districts decide to follow TUSD's lead and decide to keep a mask mandate, despite the fact that it will be a law that they're not allowed to have one. So it'll be interesting to see if that happens. You know, I'll also be keeping my eye out to see when this first quarter ends, what are grades looking like? Or because at the end of the first quarter last year, great, there were a lot more Fs than in a typical year. So it'll be interesting to see if that trend, if it goes back to a typical year, or if kids are continuing to not do well in school.
You're saying a typical year, well, you would compare maybe these scores with 2019.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
The pre-COVID year.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's what you're looking at, is you don't, you know, the data that we have is also disrupted because of what COVID has done to us.
All right, final comment, Dustin. Just it's a situation that I guess is what we would say, very fluid.
Yeah, I think right now, most importantly, is, everyone's respect is respected. We understand that being respectful is the most important thing we can do as adults. The kids are watching every move. So if we can maybe take some of our energies, come to the school and say, hey, how can I lend a hand? Can you volunteer to read for an hour? Can you bring some, you know, supplies, hand wipes, cleaning related? Anything you can do to lend a hand to the schools would be really, really important.
And one final note about that infusion of federal money. Now, Tucson Unified used it to one of the areas. They really upgraded the campuses with the air handling units. And did other districts get maybe not as much money, but did they use it to try to improve the infrastructure?
Yep, you saw the infrastructure get upgraded across all schools. You saw curriculum being brought in, retention bonuses brought in. The money was really well needed. Wasn't quite equal across the whole county. Matter of fact, when you got into areas like Tancredi, the money was actually very low.
Mm. Yeah.
So I think they got somewhere around $180,000 for one of their first allotments compared to other schools that got
And Vail
millions.
And Catalina Foothills. Yeah.
Okay. All right, we're going to have to run, Dustin Hoffman.
That's okay.
Do that.
I make the money he makes. That's important.
Dustin Williams, Pima County School Superintendent. Thank you very much, Dustin. Always a pleasure.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
And Danielle, I'm going to ask you to stick around. I want to talk a little bit about your new beat that you'll be taking over October 1st, border and immigration. So
I'd love to.
We'll take
Thank
a break
you.
Right here on the Buckmaster Show. Be right back.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our thanks to Dustin Williams for coming in, the Pima County School Superintendent. Lots of education news and with me in studio. And I thank Danielle Camara for joining me in the interview. I think we covered some very interesting areas. And Danielle has been covering education. Talk about a time when education suddenly became a front page. Not that it always wasn't front page news, but almost frequency, Danielle, of education with COVID has become such a huge story. And you began covering that beat 2 years ago. You're going to miss it, I'm sure, but you're pretty excited about what happens October 1st as you transition to border and immigration. You were telling me during the break, that's an area that you really have wanted to focus on.
Yeah, I'm really excited about being able to cover the border and immigration. Before I was at the Star, I was at the Tucson Weekly for a couple years, and I wrote a number of immigration stories there, a number of border stories, and just my own personal experience. I did live in Mexico for a few years.
What part were you living in?
Well, I lived in the Caribbean in a... It was small then. Now it's a lot bigger. A place called Tulum.
Oh my goodness! It's one of the most beautiful areas.
Yeah.
Across the island of Cozumel is right across the bay there.
Yeah, and I lived there.
Tulum is, and the ruins there at Tulum. It's pretty much the only Mayan ruins that are right on the Caribbean Sea.
They're pretty incredible. Yeah. And yeah, I lived there about 12, 13 years ago. I actually saw like the first paved road go in there. So that's a region that has grown a lot. Yeah. But when I lived there, I did speak Spanish. I learned to speak Spanish, so I speak fluently. And pretty much since I've lived in the Southwest, I've just really been interested in the border and immigration and border reporting. So yeah, I'm really excited to be able to cover that for the Star.
You know, I think about the whole issue of the border and immigration. In my many years in the business, it seems like this is always a front burner issue, and we just don't seem to be making any progress in this area.
Yeah. You know, this is an area where it's, you know, highly controversial.
Yes.
People have very strong views, but ultimately there are, you know, people's lives are at stake. There's economic issues at stake, and there are very, very tough questions that it's really hard to find answers to. So yeah, it's definitely an area that, you know, there's been issues that have been ongoing that haven't made a whole lot of progress for a very long time. And it'll be interesting to see what I can add to that conversation.
And hopefully you'll be able to delve into this thing about the border. This, you can fly into Mexico without any issues, but the crossing the border,
yes.
The Biden administration has keeps extending that the moratorium at the border. I think there's another extension that is coming up in a couple of weeks, actually, whether or not they're going to reopen the border.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's something that I want to get into in my reporting. And yeah, I mean, it seems to me that, you know, it's, you're allowed to cross the border for essential travel.
Right.
And if you're, you know, a tourist from the United States, that seems to be considered essential. So it'll be interesting to definitely follow that and look into how that affects us locally.
Getting back to education, the contentious nature, the toxic environment of some of these that used to be, no one would go to a school board meeting.
Yeah.
You might have a couple of people in the audience.
Used to some be very them, sleepy.
Yeah, it's very slim attendance. Now it's like, you know, it's everybody's got an emotion and they're
yeah.
there.
No, I mean, school board meetings and schools in general, the topic of education has become so controversial. You know, I was reporting on education for, I think, about 8 months before COVID hit, and I covered some controversial issues. They would come and go, but a lot of what I covered had to do with children and what was happening to children in schools. Were they learning? Were they getting the resources they need? Were there inequities? And since COVID hit, it has been, I'm covering a public health crisis and I'm covering a national controversy, and that has been pretty much it.
All right. Danielle Camara of the Arizona Daily Star, soon to be covering border and immigration as she wraps up 2 years on the education beat. Danielle, have a great weekend.
Thank you so much. You too. It was such a great discussion.
All right. We're going to have Weekend Watch with Matt Russell coming up right after the break.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. This is the time to take that road trip. I'm looking at some of these temperatures. Next week, 68 for the high, 46 for the low. It's a perfect time of year to take the three-hour road trip over to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Start your planning right now. It's very simple. SouthwestNewMexico.org. I say very simple because once you're logged in, you'll see about all the great places to stay and so many things to do. Let's welcome now the longtime host of Weekend Watch, award-winning Tucson publicist, Inside Tucson Business / Tucson Weekly food and beverage columnist, Mr. Matt Russell. Hey, Matt.
Hey, always great to help introduce the weekend to you and your listeners. Ready to go. Let's do this.
Yeah, what's this about an El Tour to Tucson, kind of a kickoff? It's getting us in the mood.
Yeah, it sure is. In the nearly 40-year history of the Tour de Tucson, you know, this iconic bicycle race and ride that we all know, now has its own official beer, Bill Buckmaster.
Whoa.
The group, they recently teamed up with 1055 Brewing Company to produce the El Tour Blood Orange IPA, which is kind of a hoppy brew with notes of citrus that comes in on the lower end of the alcohol spectrum. And this weekend, Buckmaster Show listeners can get some advanced tastings before the beer is actually released. So it starts tonight at the Arts Express Theater in Park Place Mall. And then tomorrow, beginning at 10 a.m. at the Mercado San Agustin Annex, both events will have live music and other fun activities. Of course, fall in Tucson means El Tour de Tucson. I'll drink to that.
Hey, Matt, is the Greek festival back?
It's that time again. Lovers of spanakopita, gyros, baklava, saganaki, hummus, and tzatziki are all convening at St. Demetrius Greek Orthodox Church on Fort Lowell for that annual Tucson Greek Festival, a celebration of Greek culture and cuisine with Greek beers, Greek wines, plus live entertainment and a whole lot of opas. It's today from 4 to 8 p.m., tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eat like a Greek this weekend, and I think one of the most delicious festivals in town.
What about Oktoberfest?
Well, this week's installment in my Weekend Watch Oktoberfest series is the celebration at Moto Sonora Brewing Company, one of Tucson's newest craft breweries at 1015 South Park, and they have everything you'd expect for an authentic Oktoberfest party tomorrow from 11 to 11. They'll be pouring their seasonal Marzen and Fest beer brews in 1 liter German steins that are yours to keep. You'll also enjoy some bratwursts, of course, along with Oktoberfest music. Tickets are just $35, but there's only a few left. So go to motosonora.com and check out the events tab for all the details.
That's a mega suds for you, I'll tell you. All right. And in the column, Inside Tucson Business / Tucson Weekly.
Yeah, a new Arizona wine has just been released, and 100% of the profits from bottle sales are being donated to the Reed Park Zoo. So what kind of wine is it, you may ask? Well, let's just say that once you uncork the bottle, you'll definitely be taking a walk on the wild side. My wild story is in this week's Inside Tucson Business and the Tucson Weekly.
All right, Matt. Have a good one, buddy. Thank you.
Cheers, Bill. Thanks.
The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of the program. Thanks to Rose Brandt and everyone here at KVOI, including my engineer-producer, Tom Fairbanks, and the entire team at Bustos Media. Have a great weekend.